my toe with my office chair a little bit.
Oh, no. I'm sorry for your toe, and welcome to the Abingers podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge all things nerd, old and new. What's up, Flawless? Hello. And I've already decided in our little break that I'm not going to do all the plugs here because I just did them. If you want to go back and listen to episode one and hear all our plugs, you can do that.
It's essentially at Abingers podcast on everything.
On everything. AvengersPodcast.com.
No, you're not going to do them.
Patreon.com/ The Avengers Podcast. My best friend is calling me.
Whoa. Hey, you should answer. Say that they're on YouTube.
Right now? Hey, you're on YouTube. I'm currently recording. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, happy birthday. It's 11-11. Make a wish.
It's 11-11. Make a wish.
Oh, I wish it was 11-12.
I wish that everybody who listens to this goes and gives us a 5-star review on every podcast platform that they have.
Deserve the 5 stars, queen.
I deserve the 5 stars.
You want to know my wish?
What is? Oh no.
You're swimming in a pool filled with banana pudding.
I like that.
All right.
Yeah, a nanner pool. I like that.
That's all.
He said it's a nanner pool, and he likes that. I have my headphones on, so you can't hear him.
Oh, that's okay. He's welcome to join me once I find said banana pudding pool.
He's married.
<That's okay.
laughs> People can swim in pudding together.
All right. Can I call you later, or you go to bed?
No. Call me later.
All right. I love you.
Okay. Bye.
Happy birthday. Bye.
Is it also her birthday, or is that just a joke?
No, that I. Whenever people tell me happy birthday on my birthday, I get really awkward and say happy birthday to you too.
Like, enjoy the show. Yeah, you too. fuck.
A couple kids came up to me today, and they were like, "It's your birthday," and I was like, "Uh huh." And then they would just like stand there, and I was like, "Happy birthday." And they're like, "Oh, happy birthday." Well, I wasn't fishing for that. It's funny to say happy birthday to
people. It is.
Oh, not their birthday. Anyway, all right. So spoiler alert for X-Men 97. Season 1, episode 2. This is the new animated series from Disney. It is called Mutant Liberation Begins.
Ooh. Yeah.
I like it. It's a cool title. All right.
Oh yeah.
Keith?
Yes.
You went first last episode?
I did.
So I'm going to take the reins.
Do it.
Tell you my thoughts.
Tell us what you thought. Yeah.
All right. I kind of alluded to it in the last episode. I love the civil rights, human rights metaphor analogy that happens in X-Men comics and shows and movies. I think it's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because so many things that they say can be taken and used in real life. And I think 100%. That is the sign of a good story.
Yes.
Like, yes, agree. This is fantastical. It is fiction, but it can also apply to the real world. I like it.
Yeah, it's nice to see that they're hitting those roots in the show. Yeah.
Yes. Completely agreed. This episode I liked a little bit more. And I think especially because the cliffhanger at the end, my God, I can get behind that.
Damn.
What is happening? That's short, sweet.
Well, if the cliffhanger you're talking about is when the Morph opens the door and it is not Storm, it is Jean Grey again.
Uh-huh. Again.
I can tell you a theory.
Mystique?
No. It's a complex theory that I didn't expect that they would go into, but the baby that they have in this episode is Nathan Charles Summers, which I believe is the full name of the character Cable. which you probably would have seen in Deadpool 2. Josh Brolin plays him. He's a time traveling badass. And he is actually Scott's son, but he's not Jean Grey's son. There's this other clone of Jean Grey that is actually his mother. I don't remember the origin of the clone, but I think that might be what we're dealing with, is a clone scenario. And that this woman at the door is the actual Jean. Who knows when she was cloned? Who knows when she was replaced? I have no idea. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's not. Maybe she's the clone. I don't know. But
that's
yeah.
A lot to take in.
Yeah. Clones happen quite a bit. Much more in the comics than they rarely don't. They rarely deal with clones in the movies as much as they deal. They already have shapeshifters, so it's like,
yeah.
I guess there was a clone.
Why would you need clones?
Logan. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, this is a banger of an episode. Like I was saying at the end of our last review, was that first episode did introduce the show and show what they're gonna do with both just how it's gonna look and the tone of the show and everything, and reintroduce people to the characters. But the plot wise, it didn't really give you a lot. With the cliffhanger at the end of that one, that this is now Magneto's school and Magneto is going to do what Magneto wants to do. Now we're getting into some nitty gritty and some actual storytelling that furthers the plot. So yeah, I was stoked about that. Yeah, because so much revolved around finding the Sentinels. Okay, they found them. And then Roberto Da Costa, who just disappears. So it's like, oh, okay, episode one didn't really amount to much. It just showed us who we're dealing with these days, which is kind of a, kind of the job of the first episode. But yeah, did we get different? Oh yeah, I think he will. He was in the promotional material too, so I was like, oh, he's joined the team, and then he just kind of fucks off. So I was like, where'd he go? But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What were you? You were gonna say something after that, and then. But I interrupted.
Just the Rotten Tomato scores and stuff. I was thinking they're already out for each episode, or is it the whole show? I guess it was.
Well, okay, it stayed the same everywhere except for IMDb did have an episode update for this episode, and it stayed at a 9.3, and IMDb overall stayed at a 9.0. And I know I do math facts. This seems like bad math. That episode one is a 9.3 and episode two is a 9.3, but the show overall is a 9.0.
Doesn't make any sense. Someone's rating an episode that hasn't come out yet.
Any sense. So yeah. Okay. Scratching my head over that one, but yeah, still critics 100%, audiences 94%, 96% of Google users like this show. That's a 69, but if you're facing butt to butt.
There was a line that I really enjoyed on UK versus the World Drag Race this last week, where the two tallest queens I've ever seen, very tall, lanky queens, get partnered up and they kind of have a bit of a romance. You can see that there's some chemistry there. And one of the Spanish queen, Teresa May, says, "You two would be a very long 69. it's adorable. But anyways, I want to do this episode a little bit differently. I'm throwing caution to the wind. I know it's your birthday. I know it is 11:20 at night. And we originally said we're going to make each episode an hour long. Because it's a 20 minute show. It might be like 25, but yeah, I'm not gonna recount the episode like I did last episode. I had not planned to even do that last episode, and I still did it. So I got some note taking changes I need to be making. But people who've watched the episode, they know what happened. What are your thoughts? What is your first note that you'd like to talk about?
Okay, listen, I think I enjoyed this episode a lot more. I think my notes got a little bit stupider. My notes are dumb. So I didn't see Magneto looking like that in comic book form, and sure. I think the first episode you only saw him with his helmet on, and with it at the very end you saw him with his helmet off.
Yeah.
And the flowing locks, I did not see coming.
Yeah. And so
that, that is my first note. I Magneto looking like this. And also the fact that he has gloves up to almost his armpit and then short sleeves. And so all you can see is his like bicep, half of his bicep.
He's ripped. And they cast Ian McKellen to play this guy. No offense to Ian McKellen. I'm sure he lifts, but my goodness. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, just the fact that he's like, no, I think I need a little bit of my bicep showing. I just need that. That just needs to be out. Yeah. And it's, yes, it's very much like, everybody knows that I did the Junior Miss pageant in my hometown, which was the beauty pageant where I think I also wore gloves. Cause it was like debutante, whatever. But I also did somebody's, it might have been a debutante ball. I'm not really sure what the hell I did my senior year, but I was on somebody's like court and had to wear those very long gloves that went up. Yeah. They're very, I'm a lady who is in a royal court.
They have one purpose only.
That's yeah. It. And you know what? He's breaking the mold. Go for it, dude. You do you. Where you found the size to fit over your massive biceps that are the size of tree trunks. More power, man.
Where does he take time to lift? You know what? He probably, because he can make metal, he can add resistance, so he could just make anything into a set of dumbbells.
Into a barbells, yeah.
Yeah, barbells. Yeah, he could just lift in his spare time, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he is an Omega level mutant, so he could really just choose whatever workout regimen he wants.
Is that different than an Alpha, a Beta, or a Sigma?
I think they have Alpha in their list, but the other ones they do not. I don't think. I don't. There might be a Beta now that I think, but there's no Sigma. My goodness. Please don't make that happen.
I just wanna be your Sigma. What was your first note? Now I'm curious about yours.
Well,
mine was dumb.
He like Magneto saves a first responder on a Ferris wheel at Coney Island, and I love that the paramedic was a woman. I love that she was saving a kid and was willing to go down with the ship. The whole damn thing was crashing down. I was like, that's awesome.
Note.
Yeah,
that's a really good note. And I was talking about his gloves.
Well, I did have a note about his gloves. Take it to the runway. I think the fashion statements in this episode are there for sure. He's definitely one of the guys. It's an interesting look. Yeah, there's just a bunch of we got Remy with this crop top. We got that's about it. Just the two of them. Everybody else is just fully clothed. No cropping, no topping.
Rogue's pink number. I feel like I had. Oh, I think it might be like a mini dress.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Her out of
costume.
Out of costume look is just a pink might even be, I don't know, I think it is one piece with a little belt. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's cute. I like it.
Yeah, very 90s,
but very, yeah, I assume. Very 90s.
I know they throw back to the old show as well. At the very beginning they have the Friends of Humanity they're making high powered weapons out of the dampening collars, which I thought was like right away. I was sitting there going, oh, they're using that to make a gun too. Oh fuck, they're gonna. I was, the fact that he only got one shot for the rifle as well.
Do not,
I was like,
miss your chance to blow.
Exactly, you only get one shot. Miss your chance to blow. You better.
Right? Well, no. Wait, one shot. How's it going? Miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better
put
yourself. In the music, the moment, okay.
Lose your powers. The gun he makes from the collar, and then the same guys, the Friends of Humanity, are rounding up the Morlocks, which is a subterranean kind of society of mutants that live under New York City.
Oh, and yeah.
They more often than not are not the kind that could fit in with society. So they have some kind of either deformity, or there's some other color, or there's something very visible about them that makes them identifiable as mutants. So those are the Morlocks. They were in the original show as well. They're pretty cool. There's a couple episodes that focus around them. So to see them rounded up and almost killed by the assholes, and then Magneto comes and saves the day.
I like that otherism as well, because it's not always just not personality traits. It's not always something that you can't see that other someone. It can also be something that is like you, like people can't pass as unquote normal or regular, whatever. Like sometimes people are othered because of physical appearance as well.
Yeah, exactly. This show covers all the bases. It's such it's an allegory for so much and so many people that could feel just left out, or like they can't fit in.
So many minorities, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what X-Men's so great about, or so great about that. You know what I'm saying? There was a. Okay, so the team is kind of debating over whether or not Professor X made the right decision leaving him in charge. They seem kind of split. Beast and Storm are a lot more forgiving with Magneto. They're kind of mulling it over a little bit and having him give the chance to prove himself. I mean, why was he friends with Charles for so long? What did Charles see in him, kind of thing, I think is their way of looking at it. But the rest are... Oh, Rogue is also actually quite invested in giving Eric a chance as well, which I don't know what the fuck is going on with that. I have no clue.
Oh, you don't?
I don't know nothing about no relationship between Rogue and Magneto. I don't know what it is. Okay. She was on the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and she is also, I believe, canonically the daughter of Mystique, but I don't think they had anything to do with each other. So, other than her leaving the team to go be a good guy.
I had a question about her. So Rogue can touch Magneto. And she doesn't do the same thing to Magneto that she does to the Doctor, which also I have questions about, but we'll get there.
Fair.
But yeah.
Yeah, like I don't know a damn thing about it, because they do reference the fact that, you know, Gambit essentially wishes he could touch her. He's willing to touch her, but he knows that she doesn't want that. He knows that he could die, so they don't ever touch, but they're still kind of romantically involved. I don't think they like to put a label on it, but I don't know if what's going on between Rogue and him is romantic either.
Well, they seem very, very different ages.
Yes. Yeah.
That's fine for certain varying ages, but this seems like a icky one. could it be that because he's an omnibus, or what did you call him? He's what kind of
an omega level?
Omega level. He's an
he's an omnibus.
I knew it started with an O.
You were so close.
So close. Yeah. Because he's an omega level. Could it be that's why she can touch him?
Which, I'm wondering. I'm excited to see what the hell the answer is, but she doesn't seem to be absorbing his powers. They would have some kind of like glow around her, and it just never happened. So I think she's when she touches Magneto, it's inert, and maybe he'll use that to manipulate her, or maybe he actually cares about her. I don't know. But I hope it's not romantical, because Gambit is the perfect combo for her.
Yeah, yeah. They do seem I like them. They seem at least like a little bit spicy as a couple compared to Salt and Pepper over there. Not salt. Not it's salt and salt, honestly.
Salt and more salt. Salt and flour. Yeah.
Salt. Yeah.
Get some crunchy cookies.
Boiled chicken.
Don't bring that brown sugar in here. We need salt. More salt. Maybe some granulated
salt.
Salt.
If he's in Omega, I almost said omnibus again. If he's an Omega and she can touch him, I feel like she is also Omega.
I don't know. I don't think she's listed anywhere, at least online, to be an Omega level mutant.
Like
her power is pretty pretty sought after. See, here's the thing that I always
that's a cool power.
It is a great power, honestly. It comes with its downside of obviously not having physical contact with anybody. That's a huge caveat. But yeah, I know. Just wear a condom over your whole body.
Yeah.
But no, the like, I was a big fan of writing. When I was in high school, I would write like fan fiction, X-Men, and I would make my own class and series of characters. And I always made the main character be Rogue and Gambit's kid, and it would have he would have Rogue's powers but look like Gambit, and then he also could shapeshift. So it has the best of both worlds in that Rogue can supply herself with anybody's superpower, and if she can shapeshift, you can then look like them too. Whereas a shapeshifter like Morph can turn into people, but he really only has their physical attributes. He can't he's not suddenly made of adamantium claws. If he turns into Wolverine, he doesn't have that indestructibility. His claws would be sliced through, just like I think in the first X-Men movie they do that with Mystique. She turns into I've seen that like 300 times. She turns into Wolverine, she's fighting with Wolverine, and then he slices through her claws and she like screams in pain because that's part of her. So she's it's jarring. But yeah, if you had both, then you'd be overpowered. And yeah, so that was my character was the character that I wrote was a very temporary ability to do that, but it would mess with them too. Like he'd have their traumas and their hauntings and their fears and everything as well. So it would be kind of uncontrollable at the same time.
It's fun, that's though. Cool. That is really cool.
Thanks. I wish I was super dorky, but I love doing it.
Well, yeah, but we're on the Avengers podcast. Like if there's a place and a time, that's fair. It is here.
We should find my old emails. You know, I emailed them to myself so that I wouldn't lose them.
That is
I might have a summer hobby.
That is also how I used to find or like to save my shit in college. Like I would email it to myself and be like, cool.
Yeah,
that is there
just
forever
exists
now.
Somewhere. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Until your inbox gets
out
full
in the cloud.
It's like 2001 and they haven't figured out how to make larger inboxes. Yeah. They're like, by the way,
2001. No, emails. Keith, I'm younger than that. Okay. All right.
What? I'm sorry.
2001 when I was in college in 2001. No.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about when I was doing the fan fiction.
Oh, okay. Oh, I do get from my university. I get things now that are like your email is closing, and I'm like, I honestly don't care. But like now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh shit, do
maybe
I care?
Do you care? Yeah, that's fair. Maybe something to look into.
Well, yeah. Glad I took tomorrow off. I'm going to find all my old fan fiction of me and Robert Downey Jr. No.
Damn. I believe it. So Bishop and Gambit and Logan don't seem to be interested in Eric. Eric is Magneto's real name, by the way.
Yes, I knew that. Because of... what's his name? Not Michael Fassbender, the other one.
Ian
no,
McKellen.
It is. No.
Michael Fassbender.
Who's the other one, though?
Who is the other person who played Magneto, or the other person who was the Professor
in,
X to
in,
his...
Yeah.
James McAvoy.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Okay. I did know that that Fassbender's name was Eric in those movies.
Yes.
Because
they say it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a certain thing too of like in live action movies, they want to be taken more seriously. So they don't use their code names very often. Like even in the first one, Hugh Jackman's making fun of them for having code names in the first place. He's like, what do they call you? Wheels?
Mm.
Like that's like a big line for him. So anyways, Magneto walks in the war room or whatever they call it. He has arranged for the Morlocks to have safe refuge in the mutant nation of Genosha. Place that was once used mutants as slaves until Magneto liberated them and is now a mutant only nation. So Eric questions why Xavier never did this before, used his resources before. He says one of many mutant matters on which I can and will improve. Cyclops questions Eric's methods but says that he didn't kill any of the FOH goons. and that that should be proof enough that he's willing to honor Xavier's dream of a mutant human coexistence. He can barely get it out. He can't get himself to say it. Coexistence. Yeah. Any notes? Yeah.
He knows what?
Oh no, I was asking any notes if you had any. Oh, I didn't want to interrupt.
I do. Magneto says I was in his thoughts and he in mine. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's fucking adorable.
It is.
And I love it. I feel like this show is leaning a little bit queer than I expected. And I'm here
for it. I mean, the fact that Gambit in episode one's in a crop top, there's a great scene in this episode where Morph just wants to wrestle with Logan, I thought was very cute. Like, brings him some chips and beer, and then he turns into his nemesis and wrestles. He's like, gets him down.
I don't remember
that
at all.
Yeah, that happens, I think, near the end when Storm's doing her, like, final voiceover monologue part.
Oh, maybe. Okay. But yeah, that was... There's something adorable about a bromance that I will never understand, and it's just so sweet looking from the outside looking in on a bromance.
Yeah.
It's just it's like a love that loves more than love, as Alan Poe said. But it's sweet, and I feel like it's reminiscent of Sir Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen's friendship. And how they're just absolutely fucking adorable together. I love everything they do. Their Instagrams are adorable. And just, I love it. It's just, I don't know. There's something reminiscent about those people who have played those characters.
Yeah.
And I was in his thoughts and he in mine. Just, it's adorable.
He goes on to say, when we parted ways, he says, when they parted ways, he told himself that he needed the helmet to protect him from Charles's power. Then Rogue suggests that maybe he was just as worried how Charles... He was worried about how Charles would feel because he loved him so much that he wouldn't be able to go through with his crusade. Like, if he was constantly revealing what his plans were, or Charles was able to see what he was up to, would he be able to go through it just out of shame, just like
for him to feel Charles as like
constant presence somehow.
Disappointment or not disappointment, but like oh, I thought better of you.
Exactly. Like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah
Eric. Yeah, very true.
I think I have the note. Okay. I have a lot of quotes in this episode too. I think this episode had a lot of really good quotes in it. Whenever they actually get to the trial and Magneto says something about soundbite indignation, I feel like that is something that at least us in this country, we are very good at. We are very good at having a sound clip that sounds good, taken out of context, and is like, wow, this person really gives a shit about this issue. And then nothing happens from it. And I'm gonna leave it there because I'm saying it happens with a lot of people. And it's not just one side or the other. It's not us or them. It's very much a sound bite indignation.
Yeah, I liked that line too.
It's a good line, and again, a great way that it's the real world reflected in fiction.
Yeah, and it's one of those things too that's like it gets people thinking, and the writing of the show is fantastic for that reason. Like the whole quote, if you want, we could skip to the trial. I absolutely would love to. Anyways, it's the beefiest part of the episode by far. There is a scene earlier with Jean and Storm where Jean's going on about how her sisterhood with she's not really disagreeing with Magneto as much as she expected to, because now she has a kid on the way and she's kind of afraid to one day tell her kid that they might be a mutant. And it made me think of the many, I know many, you know, people, they don't want to admit or they don't want to say that they're, you know, for example, that their kid might be gay one day. And it's like, it's they're afraid that their kid might be that because of the hardships that they would be facing and that they'd have to deal with the rest of their lives. And it's like, that's an understandable reason to not want that. But at the same time, you got to show them a world that accepts that and, you mm-hmm. know, do your best to kind of get them there. But yeah, the line later, he's Magneto's doing his kind of statement, his plead of his case. And he says, when I was a child, my people and their homes were burnt to ashes because they called God by another name. Then my people hunted me. No, Jesus, I'm fucking this up big time. You tell I'm tired. Then my people hunted me with those who once hunted them. In history's sad song, there is one refrain. Believe differently, love differently, be of different sex or skin, and be punished. We sing this song to one another. The oppressed become oppressors. I really like that line, too. The oppressed becoming mm-hmm. oppressors. Xavier knew this and dreamed we could change, find harmony, a future where human and mutant could relinquish the past and finally sighs. He sighs. I didn't mean to read that. Finally, and then he couldn't say the words like live together or coexist. He's so sick of it's like it's so foreign to him, the idea, because he's just wants mutants to dominate in the past. But he instead says, "You claim justice is overdue, indeed, but so is healing." And then a very southern accented judge says. words he just says basically this won't fix that. Your words are nice, but it won't fix the hurt people that were hurt by your crimes. And Eric says back, and your soundbite indignation will not heal human wounds. You build robots to hunt us, you collar us to chain our powers. Humanity must protect itself. Protection, that is extermination. I've only ever acted to avenge crimes against my people, and you act to avenge those against yours today. It's great writing in this episode and the last one, but this one really hit hard because they start delving more into the kind of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X difference between Magneto and Charles. And mm-hmm. that's who their characters were based on in the comic books to begin with. So it's nice to see that that comes through. And Magneto really struggles. He's, you know, they set him up in the beginning of this episode to prove himself. You don't have our trust. Why would you? Mm-hmm. You've not proven that you could do this. And I honestly thought he was going to fail. I was surprised by the way this episode ended. But in more ways than just the Jean showing up or Storm losing her powers, I was surprised that Magneto did not kill these people. And, I was shocked. Not even he doesn't even kill the executioner guy from the Friends of Humanity, who you know kind of armors up and
fucked over his friend. If anybody deserved it.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
And like I say, he did really respect Storm. And like I say, that the one thing we didn't touch on last episode too is the music in these episodes has been awesome. The scene where Storm's walking and turning desert sand into glass last episode with the lightning has this mm-hmm. amazing musical score. Same as this big moment at the end with Magneto soaring up into the clouds and past them into like the upper atmosphere where it's cold. It's like he's brought all these judges up with him. He has this tear that runs down his face before he turns around and faces them because he was going to be breaking his promise to Charles. But no, he turns around and gives another great monologue and then ends up saving the day. So,
yeah, I liked Magneto a lot in this episode. And I'm afraid that it's a false sense of hope and security.
Yeah.
But I'm currently a fan because he's another one that he can be a bit of a dick.
Oh yeah,
in what I've seen of him, so yeah, I'm at least happy to enjoy him currently.
Yeah. And he's always kind of skirted that line because of his friendship with them. I mean, Magneto and Charles. Both of them are in probably I don't even know how many movies it is now, of like how many Hugh Jackman movies, for example. It's always tough because they mix them together too. But that's been probably a relationship that has been explored more in live action movies than any others from the X-Men, because they've done it in both with both sets of actors. And they do help each other a lot in both the comics and the movies, and it's not unexpected that he would take over the team. But yeah, up until this point, he has been just a, you know, humans are replaceable. Let's just go ahead and do it already. But not anymore. So,
I mean, what did you think? We're kind of skipping around here, but what did you think of the Executioner? How did you feel about his character?
He kind of reminded me of Crossbones, that douche from Winter Soldier and Civil War. Like, he seemed so scolded and just small-minded, and like everything that he was muttering and saying was, it could be said by any, you could hear this kind of rhetoric online, you could hear this kind of people talking, you know, anywhere. And I have his lines too, especially when he's fighting Cyclops and kind of kicking his ass, because now Cyclops has got no visor in a room full of people, innocent people, and he really can't open his eyes. And this guy's besting him physically, because Scott's not, he's not super strong or anything. He's just a guy. And this guy's clearly a trained fighter. So now he's got the armor on. He's got this special gun. He's kicking some ass, but
Cyclops is just—he's just a regular, degular dude with compostable bursts.
Compostable bursts. Yeah, he really cares about the environment, and he'll make sure that green bin goes out every week.
What was it? Concussive.
concussive blasts.
Blasts. Okay.
Blasts.
All right. Yeah. I'm gonna make a statement about the Executioner, and then I'm gonna say one of his lines in the way that I heard it.
Okay.
So, he says something about how you're just whining, like, oh, you're a mutant and you're just whining. But right before that, he says, normal people have it hard too. And I'm sorry if that's not the whiniest little bitch I've ever heard.
Yeah, seriously.
Good but Lord.
It's funny, and I hear it mostly, I think, when I watch a lot of YouTube stuff, channels that cover and debunk and commentate on just people out there with way too big of channels that are quite bigoted and racist, mm-hmm. and they're breaking them down. They're trying to kind of dethrone them in a lot of ways, and that is the way that they talk. They basically look at it as, you know, the full quote in the episode is, know what I hate about your kind? You act like you've got it so bad. Normal people have it hard too.
No, you're not saying it right. No, he says normal people have it hard too. Sorry, and he does his hands like that, like he's jacking off penises. Sorry. Happy birthday, Mom.
and he's about to shoot Cyclops in the face. And then Morph comes in and saves the day with three different shifts. You want to know who they are?
Three different shifts. Okay.
Like he turns into three different people.
If anybody got that joke.
Wait.
You're welcome.
Did I get it?
Probably not.
Lady Deathstrike is the first person he comes in looking like, and then he turns into Colossus to take a few hits, and then he turns into Psylocke with her two katanas, which is pretty awesome.
Do you want to hear something stupid?
What?
I thought Colossus actually showed up in the episode, because I think I was either taking notes or not paying attention, or
you didn't know it was Morph.
I didn't.
Looked down.
No, and it throws me off too when Morph is not the Clay guy, when he's just like the regular, he just looks like a regular dangler dude.
Yeah that's like his like go out into public kind of face. And then when he goes home,
when he's just like a brunette dude, I'm like, oh.
Like, who's that?
Okay. Yeah. No clue.
Honestly, the executioner guy. I assume that's the last we'll see of him, because he does seem to kind of wet his pants when Magneto brings him up to the stratosphere and hangs him from that giant seal emblem
thing.
Yeah. Which I'm happy to see that character move out of the way for someone else to take up the role of being a threat. But it is nice to see like them versus these essentially terrorist groups. It's very, very real threat. Mm-hmm. Very expected thing for them to face. It was cool.
Yeah. In this scene, we also get Storm being an absolute badass. Goodness. Yeah. Hello. Okay. When she says her lines, which again, wonderfully crafted, Natalie Portman could never, but she does say something that's like, "Be silent."
Oh, yeah. Like,
fucking you, go girl.
Oh, yeah, that's a damn good line. Let me find that one. This is why I write all the lines down. I don't need to say them all, but I definitely like having them on hand.
God. It's nice to have context, because that's all I wrote down was be silent, because that's something that I would like to use in my classroom. Be silent!
Be silent, you will feel the wrath of my wind.
And by my wind, I mean bleh.
And you followed it up with like a sonic burp. So she, basically they find out through Jean reaching out to Cyclops with telepathy that she's going into labor. And yeah, they decide right then and there. Storm is like, Rogue, take him to her immediately. We've got this. And at first I was like, wait a minute, you're not doing well. Bishop has already been kicked through a window, and you're taking away Rogue and Cyclops. What is the plan here? And then looking back on it, I was like, oh, she's going to get Magneto unleashed, because he's clearly the most powerful one in the room, or one of them. But yeah, she snaps into like leadership mode, which is awesome to see again. Because she's been a leader in several X-Men comics too. It's not always Scott in charge of a team. She usually, I think for a while, they were having like a team in like several different cities, and she was the head of one of them. But yeah, she barks some orders at the judges, and they clap back, and then she's like, be silent, heed my commands, and you shall survive.
That's exactly, yep.
Yeah.
How I'm going to say it in my classroom. Be silent. Heed my commands and you shall survive, you fuckers. Sorry, no, I'm not gonna say that part.
And you're teaching in sixth grade?
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta put the fear in them, man.
Fair. Not even high school, they might not make it out.
Oh. No, I'm just kidding. I will not do that in my classroom. I might say be silent or be quiet a few times, a few thousand times a day.
The asshole doctor that is supposed to be helping Jean with the birth says, we don't do mutant births. You people can lose control of your powers. And then Logan nearly gives that guy a C-section. And Cyclops arrives just in time to stop that from happening. Say those words. I'll give you a C-section. I was like, wow.
First of all, I gotta say, Jordan hee-hawed at that. He didn't say hee-hawed. He found that very funny in the Discord. I found it cheesy, but clever.
Oh. Funnier line from Logan, though, earlier in the episode, is when Jean comes down the steps and says
he's
coming. And he goes, Apocalypse!
Who? Apocalypse?
That was awesome.
That was, yep.
I laughed out loud. That was a good time.
That one got me as well. Jordan, I'm very sorry. I do not share the same sentiment about I'll give him a C-section.
I'll give you a C-section.
I
love when he goes like basically to get her to the hospital. She throws his keys and coat at him with telekinesis, and then they're in the Jeep. And he's like off-roading in the city, and she's moving people out of the way. And then she peels the top of the Jeep off just to get some air, I assume. I thought that was really
I thought that was just from paint.
Oh, maybe. And that's the thing. Like, in that case, the doctor's right. she loses control of her powers in labor.
That's what I took it as, but no, it's probably also air. I don't know. Renee, let us know. Did that happen on the way today? All right.
Rogue touches the doctor. Is that what you did want to talk about that?
Yes.
Was that what was next?
Yes. Questions. All right. Yes. I know it's fiction. It's fiction. Rogue siphon powers and or kill a normie, right? I am going to, you know what? If they're going to be disrespectful to mutants, I am going to call them normies and be disrespectful to them too. So, suck it.
You guys got an ally with, you real mutants out there have an ally with Emmy.
Yeah. All right. So, if she can siphon powers.
Yes.
Being a doctor is not a power. That's a learned skill.
Like, so, she doesn't just siphon powers.
No, okay.
She siphons powers, memories, skills, everything. If she holds onto a human long enough, she can. If she holds onto a mutant long enough, she can kill them. If she just holds on to them, touches them for a short while, they will pass out. And she does gain their memories. I can't remember the name of the character, but in the comic books, there's a guy who's similar to that, except all he does is have to be around a person, and he'll know what they know. So if he goes to a doctor or goes to a freaking karate school class or something, he will pick up just through being in close proximity with them. It's a pretty cool character. But essentially, she's just good at stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool. She can get memories. It happens a little bit in the live action movies. She remembers things about Logan and she adopts Magneto's memories as well. When he uses her to power his machine.
I don't remember that part. I just remember, spoiler alert for the, 2001 X-Men movie, at the very beginning when she's trying to get intimate with a boy.
Yeah.
She murders him, doesn't she? Puts him in a coma,
I think. I think in the comics, in her origin story, she probably does kill the guy. I think in the movie, they probably brought it down to a coma instead.
Brought it down from death to coma.
Yeah, they're like, kids are gonna come see 9.5.
okay.
Like, let's give them hope that whatever his name was, Chad or something.
No, Shirley. Absolutely.
No, Chad, Shirley. Not Shirley.
Okay, sorry. All right. Steve Martin.
I think you mean Leslie Nielsen.
Do I?
You're talking about the white-haired guy who says, don't call me Shirley.
I do. In Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I got the right movie. It has John Candy in it, right? No?
That is Steve Martin. Steve Martin and John Candy are in a movie called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Leslie Nielsen says the don't call me Shirley joke in a movie called Airplane. So, close.
Okay, all right, accounts. All right. Do you see the confusion here? Mm-hmm. Do you see what happened in my brain?
Airplane. Yeah. You just wanted to add more vehicles to the title. It was just Airplane. Yeah. You just want variety in your life. You just want spice, you want variety, salty haired men.
That's another Shawshank Redemption Schindler's List situation.
That one I understand less.
Okay. All right. Thank you. At least that one, that Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and Airplane. You understand more. That's
I tracked that one. I saw it from beginning to end.
Okay. All right, cool. So that was a view into my brain for the week. You're welcome. Okay. I was gonna say that Rogue.
Yes.
Again, I'm just saying humans, mutants, lover powers. Fucking touch me, bro. Absolutely put your hands on me. Catch me outside, how about that? Murder and or coma. Let's do it. Okay, and I guess that her being able to siphon off Dr. Powers
makes Dr. perfect skills. Sense. Now, if she does it, if something happened where she ended up touching their baby, it would die, so she has to glove up.
Would it die because it doesn't have any skills for her to take?
No, she's just a weak individual, so I think even if she tried not to. Even she just went like, that would be enough.
Yeah. What if it's a mutant baby?
Different story.
No.
Mutations only manifest after puberty or during puberty.
How did I not know that?
I don't know.
Is that why my kids are so fucking wild? They're all going through mutations?
They're all mutating, yes, as you speak. As you're trying to speak to them.
That's what happened with the one that broke the sink. It was just a mutation. Yes.
Yeah, they probably had concussive blasts.
I would pay money if he went into the principal's office and he was like, man, let me just tell you, I'm sorry, I had a concussive blast.
And they're like, in the bathroom? Well,
in the sink?
The toilet was fine.
Okay, when this baby does come out.
Yes.
If that child's name had been Ben or Benny, I would have shit my pants. Oh my God. And honestly, I was kind of hoping for. I was like, oh my.
You're like, I really hope I get to shit my pants.
Buckled in. I was ready. I would have texted you and been like, it's going to be another 30 minutes. I got to clean up. It's fine. But can you understand the kismet that is this show now?
It'd be so weird. Yeah, I agree. I agree. That would be the cherry on top for sure.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, Nathan is still like, that's still it's a boy name, you know. And it ends in a vowel and an N. And so I would probably
Stretch.
Get them confused.
Well, don't worry. One of them is very animated.
Real.
the other one is real.
Yeah, okay, all right, cool.
What did you think of the big, you know, he took his one shot of adrenaline? No, he took his one shot and depowered Storm. Did you see that coming?
I didn't. I hate that for Storm, because Storm is another one, she's another character that I love. Like, I like that she is not afraid to be herself. She's got that mohawk getting on the bus later on in this episode, and she's just like, fucking stare at me like I like what I like. Like, I just I like her. She's cool. Jeez. 100%
agree.
I felt bad for Storm that she found this family that she can connect with because of her mutation. And then once her mutation is kind of taken away, it's like she can't connect with that family anymore, or she feels like she won't be able to. I don't think she completely gives it a chance, because I don't think they would completely throw her out on her ass.
I think it was just such a shame that she had that conversation with Jean earlier, when Jean was like, oh, I want to leave. We need to leave to have this baby. And then she's like, oh, I got to stay because Scott wants to stay. And then she's like telling Storm, we're going to stay until you get better. It's like, oh, yeah, man, you're going to make Storm leave.
Yeah.
You fucked up, Jean. Damn it. If that is your real name.
Yeah. And it's probably Dolly. She's probably that sheep from 1996. Do you remember that?
No. 94? Oh, that freaking 94? Clone sheep. I do now.
Is that sheep still around? What is that sheep doing now? It's Jean Grey. I'm sorry. It's Sheep Grey.
Oh my God. No. Wait.
Okay, Cable, I'm sorry.
X-Men Cable's mom. I'm going to look up her name right now because it's driving me nuts.
Dolly?
X-Men Cable's mom. No, not Dolly.
You're not looking up the sheep? I'm sorry. I'm much more curious about the sheep.
Who is Cable's mother?
While you're looking that up, I also felt sorry for Storm, because the absolute sadness whenever she's saying, like, I can't feel the wind anymore. I can't feel the moisture. Yeah. I can't feel... It's like she's lost the connection to what she... Her chosen family, and also to something that made her feel connected to nature and the earth. And it's like she's lost more than one thing.
Yeah, and their abilities are... Like, an ability like hers... It doesn't have many drawbacks. It doesn't really have like a burden to bear. It was just, it was just something she's always really, well, since puberty anyways, has always lived with. and clearly loves it. And what I really loved was the way that they showed that and showed the remorse or sadness of it with her being afraid of the lightning because she didn't know it was going to strike. So she like jolts and was shocked because she's so used to knowing when every lightning bolt is going to happen. Even if she's not controlling the weather, she knows what the weather's doing at all times. Yeah. So it's that was a really cool little touch. I was really impressed by that. Madeline Pryor is the name of Jean's clone. What I'm realizing is that Cable's middle name is Christopher Summers, or it's Nathan Christopher Summers, and now I'm wondering if there's some other kid or if they just changed it. They can't just have two kids named Nathan. That's crazy. Nathan Charles Summers. Charles. No, that's Cable. That is Cable. Okay, so the baby is Cable.
The baby is Cable.
That could be
the Cable was baby.
The Cable was
the baby is baby. The Cable is Cable. No, I'm sorry. I was gonna do a whole bit there. You were talking about the how not innocent, but like how Storm's power is kind of like they're cool and they don't really have that much of a downside, but we do have somebody here who's from the trailer park down the street. And ma'am, would you like to speak? I don't know if you remember back in 1997 when that woman, she brought a Nader in here and I was trying to give the casserole dish back to Lorraine over in 1491. And I was outside and she just, all of a sudden there was that tornado and the sirens started going off. And I was like, damn, I'm outside. Where am I supposed to go? So I went underneath of a tree and used the casserole dish to cover my head. It's okay. I was fine. Lorraine's house was destroyed and ended up in Kansas.
Both destroyed and, relocated. That's a shame. I thought you were going to say, I guess it's my casserole dish now.
I should have. Goddamn. Should have. No, yes, good. And myself.
I like that she used it for protection. I like that she used it to shield herself from the rain. Yeah. Is that a recurring character? Are we going to, what's her name?
Joanne. Me and Lorraine go way back. We went to high school together. We dated the same guys at the same time.
Oh, well, that's beautiful, Joanne. Yep. That's so. And you're certain that this Nader, was powered by a woman, by a person?
Yeah, it was a woman for sure. Her eyes were light.
Did she say cool things?
Yeah, she said, "Be silent, you bitch." And I said,
"Were you doing a lot of screaming at the time?"
Well, yeah, there was a Nader, man.
It'll fuck around.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know how to say it. Whenever a Nader goes through an area, it is always the most entertaining people that they interview after.
Oh, 100%.
In my opinion.
And they're the people that want to be on TV too.
And listen, if I have a dream, that is my dream. I want to be Meemaw out on the patio with the casserole dish in my nighty pajamas. Having the news interview me. Joanne.
I'm trying to think. Joanne. Yeah, you. Not Joanne, not you.
Yeah, not me. No.
Someone else.
Joanne, my alter ego.
Everybody needs
after
one.
I've had too much Four Loko.
And a whole liter of Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was gonna say the So Magneto brings them up to the clouds. And I wrote above the clouds and into the cold upper atmosphere with the judges. Eric sheds a tear before facing them. They're cold and afraid. He addresses executioner first. Bigot, ingrate, sycophant, worm, so small I could smite you with a step. There was a time I would smite you all for what was done to Storm, but today I saved you from your own. For an old friend has challenged me to remember this view of the Earth, how vast it is versus how small we make it. Charles Xavier trusted me with his dream, and it does not ask you to love or embrace my kind as your own, but merely to accept that this is a shared world with a common future, and that my kind, like yours, have a right to live in it. I am trying to be better. Please do not make me let you down. Which I love that they kind of bookended it or ended it off with a bit of a joke. Because yeah, he's got them way up in the air right now, and he says, please do not let me, please do not make me let you down.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, do the right thing or you're dead. And I did appreciate that old Magneto way of doing that. But that's a really good speech. I loved the view of the Earth thing. Challenge me to remember this view of Earth, how vast it is versus how small we make it.
How small we make it, because it's not fucking pie.
Yeah, it's not pie. Yeah.
But also, I do think it is. Everybody. It is a bit of foreshadowing, because something makes me think that they are going to make him change his mind, and they're going to do something fucking stupid.
Yeah, the wrong person's going to have the wrong gun at the wrong time or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something's going to be heartbreaking about it. I know that. And then after all that. Very powerful speech, and that's why I say the music was really amazing there too. It swells up really cool.
And the line too that he says earlier when they're still in the courtroom, he says after the mob breaks the perimeter, and he says something about how oh, look at you guys still in the wrong even after you're following the rules or something. It was like,
oh yeah, yeah, where did your rules get you type of thing. Yeah
It was, oh, it was good. It was fucking good.
Well written.
Like they wanted everybody's heads, not just Magneto's. They wanted even the people that were following the rules.
Yeah.
Wanted their heads too.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was this was a good episode. The first episode I was lukewarm on. This episode I was like,
you're on board.
All right.
You're like, now I want to see what happens next.
This is not what if.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's where we go into basically Beast is looking at a sample of Storm's blood. Hank seems reluctant to tell her, but he's quite sure that it appears permanent. Jean says Cyclops and her aren't going anywhere until Storm is well again. Storm, in shock, leaves, takes a look at her old uniform where the beam hit it, and for the first time, the storm outside scares her. I already mentioned why I like that part, but she leaves Jean a letter, basically.
And her earrings.
Did she?
Yeah, because I was like, girl, if you're scared of the thunder and the lightning, why are you still wearing those lightning bolts? And then the letter has Jean's name on it, and then in the top left-hand corner, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, her earrings are there too. And I was like, oh shit, somebody else thinks like me.
So you had that thought before yeah, you noticed before that she gave him up.
She,
that's
yeah.
So spooky.
Yep.
She does a really good, it is this great departure kind of letter, and turns out that Jean had been sharing it with everybody. So there's these moments where Magneto and Rogue are touching hands in Charles's office. Like, what the fuck is that about? Morph has brought Logan some beers and chips, and tries to coax him out of the tree because he's up there just kind of moping. And Morph turns into Sabretooth, his old nemesis, and they kind of have a wrestle. Logan gets into it. He wants to wrestle with Morph in the yard. I thought it was cute. Gambit sees Rogue.
I didn't see that.
You don't remember that part?
I didn't see that at all. Especially, you've said Sabretooth. Like, I know that. I know who Sabretooth is. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't see that. And I think it's because voiceover means brain goodbye.
You're
All I have
like,
to do is
they're already
listen.
telling me
And
stuff. Yeah.
yeah. Yep.
That's fair.
I
I get like that too sometimes. You
blame my
really
phone.
blame the phone world that we live in. It's true. Gambit sees Rogue coming out of that office that he knows Magneto is in, and his glossy red eyes are real close up to the camera, and he looks like he's a little crying a little bit.
What crying eye out of those eyes?
You froze and I didn't hear what you said except the eyes.
What do you cry out of those eyes?
Oh, like a kind of a blackish gray sludge. I don't know. I
Ew.
have no idea.
Yuck.
They read the letter to everybody. Gambit says that the blast was meant to hit Eric and he should be the one who's leaving. Morph says he doesn't buy it for 1 minute. Storm will spend 1 day schlepping it with the basic folk, and then a doorbell interrupts Morph and he goes running to answer it. And of course, it's Jean. Why wouldn't it be? And she says she needs the X-Men and collapses in Morph's arms. And everybody looks on very confused. Very, very confused.
I
And
am me
that is the
included.
cliffhanger. Me too,
Yeah.
man. Me too. I think it might be if they go into Madeline Pryor and like clones and stuff like that, that means to me more comic book accuracy, more comic book references, and that's always more fun when it comes to X-Men because they have so much unscratched material, completely unexplored. So I'm stoked.
Is that how we have to say that? Unscratched material?
I might never
Unscratched?
have said that before in my life. I don't think anyone has. What's the phrase?
Untouched?
Untouched.
I in my head, scratching goes with balls.
Scratching the surface, I think, is what I was messing
Oh,
up. And scratching
okay.
the surface of the gold balls or whatever that character's
Some of
name
the
is.
golden balls. Okay, so I.
Yeah, just scratching the surface.
Based on your knowledge, and we can all agree my knowledge is 0.69. Based on your knowledge,
Yes.
how much of the comics was the original series based on, like scale 1 to 10-ish? Like it doesn't, yeah.
I'd say because it was such a close adaptation of like their suits were the same, they could do bright colors, they could do melodrama, they could do all these things that you don't really see people doing in live action movies, at least not at the
Oh, the
time.
90s. The
The
90s,
90s,
man.
yeah, man. I think that they were pretty close. I want to say percentage wise, they're probably 80% accurate or 80% just brought straight from the comics. They would make a lot of like every episode would essentially be a different comic book character coming to the X-Men for help. And so you'd kind of learn about them for an episode, and it'd be the Colossus, or it'd be Nightcrawler, or it'd be someone else. And so they'd eventually have a bigger team, but for the most part, it was just this like core group of seven characters helping people out one at a time. And yeah.
Okay,
It
okay.
was, but it was, yeah, they'd keep it pretty accurate. That's
That's the
was one
source
of its charms.
material is comic accurate, and so the reboot should be
Yeah, I
your
agree.
thing.
Like, I don't want them to come up and make up their own stories. Like, I don't know. I can't even think of like the last season of Game of Thrones. Like, I don't want that. Even though I hated it
Nobody
less than other people.
did. Nobody did. Nobody wanted it. But we got it.
We got it.
I
Yay.
and you know what? Here, I'll give you one.
Yeah.
Dexter. The did you
Dexter.
watch the newest episode or newest season of Dexter? The one that came
The
out like
new Cold
well
Blood.
after? Yeah.
I watched the first, I want to say three episodes, and I just didn't get hooked.
Oh,
I didn't
see,
stick with it.
I did
Should
get
I have?
hooked.
I heard it got bad
No.
again, didn't it?
It got worse, honestly.
Is it only one season?
Yeah.
And then it just got canceled again?
I won't say that it got canceled. It came to a conclusion that was unsatisfactory.
Okay, fair enough. I think
And
Dexter had an amazing run for the first four seasons. That's yes. My
and I okay, and I completely agree with you. And as someone who loved, okay, this is a tangent and I'm sorry. Okay. As someone who loved Dexter, I read the books by Jeff Lindsay after I started the first or second season. The first book and the first season are almost like word for word. Almost.
Oh, the Ice Truck Killer season. That's an awesome season.
Yes. However, it ends a little bit differently.
Okay.
In the first book. And then from there on out, the books, because I had watched a lot of Dexter, and then I was like, okay, well, the, and actually maybe I, oh shit. Okay. Hold on. I might be getting this out of order. I think I watched Dexter and I was like, well, the books have got to be better. Oh, and okay. Then I read the books and I was like, oh God, the show was so much better.
Well, there's so much about, I feel like murder mystery or just, I don't know, crime thriller books. The shows based on them are they sink or swim when it comes to style. And I think Dexter's best things about it were the style, the Miami flavor of it. They had the music in there. They had his voiceover, yeah. His scary voiceover. It was just cool as shit. Yeah. I love the
intro. Just,
and then eventually it runs its course. And that's why maybe some drama series shouldn't go on for 6-7 seasons to 8 to, you know, till it's like that thing where the Dark Knight line where they say the, you either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And then shows do that. I think they're capable just like anything. You know, we're seeing something like that with the MCU currently trying to fight becoming the villain, in my opinion. They've been around so long that the bubble has burst and they're no longer the underdog. They have the money. They have the talent. They just have to use it properly, I think.
Yeah, but have you seen a DC movie recently?
They've never gotten back what Christopher Nolan did for them. My God, they've never gotten back to that level of quality. Yeah.
No. And that was even right around when Iron Man.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. The Dark Knight. And I don't even consider The Dark Knight Rises that bad, but I didn't like it as much as The Dark Knight. And then things just kind of went, people didn't like Superman as much as the Batman ones, and then it just kept getting sillier and sillier.
And then Aquaman came out. And then Aquaman 2 came out, and everybody was like, ha ha, what?
Honestly, half of that movie felt like him just auditioning to play Lobo. I want him to play that.
You
next.
Said this. Yeah.
I've
okay.
said that. I did, didn't I?
Yeah. And he's a pasty white guy on a motorcycle. That's what
he's
I remember.
He's a pasty white space biker. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think, though, because I'm a softie and I love Dexter, I do think that the last book is on this bookshelf. Not this bookshelf. Nope. Hold on. Spatial awareness. Right here. The wooden one. Not the black one underneath the TV.
Just so everybody's clear who's listening, she's pointing behind her and using the camera to figure out where to point. She...
it's somewhere on that bookshelf.
I believe you.
It's called Dexter. Dexter is... Well, no, I don't want to say it. Last one. All right. Keith, I've kept you long enough, and
you've kept me exactly as long as I wanted you to keep me. So well, it's perfect.
I appreciate that. I honestly, when people are asking me today, like, oh, do you have any birthday plans? I was like, I get to go home and watch a new Marvel like TV show, and I get to record a podcast. And yeah. I honestly, like, perfect. That's a perfect day. And I get to take tomorrow off because I didn't have any meetings. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Party.
Well, hey, guys, don't tell my school. I said it was allergies.
Goodness. And now you're going to have to.
Not my birthday day.
You got to activate some allergies stat.
Oh.
There you go. I'm convinced. Yeah. No, I was super stoked to talk about this show. I was just delighted and relieved that it was as good as it was, because it could have been a flop, and it was instead very refreshing and new and different and also very nostalgic. So I was very excited.
What if
don't
it had been a flop?
If it had been, then I would relish in the fact that I could make fun of it with you.
Well, it's true. All right. Well, this has been the Avengers. Thank you so much for riding this wave out with us. Again, I don't want to do all the product placement, but we're basically Avengers Podcast, ABINGERS, wherever you want to try to find us. Put a .com on there, put a patreon.com in front with a /, put an @ if you want to find us on socials. ABINGERS Podcast, if you want to find us on podcast platforms, which I think that maybe you have, if you're listening to this, or you're on YouTube, in which case, smash that subscribe button.
Smash the like, smash the subscribe, and hit that little bell if you want notifications.
Leave a comment below if you remember sex and math.
Yeah.
That was last episode. Whatever. Anyway, yeah, we have done 2 episodes tonight. We will be back next week to record episode 3, but and also possibly.
Yeah, possibly. I'm down. If you are.
Potentially Daredevil episode whatever we're 4. On. 4. Yeah, I had the right number on my hands, but then I was like, no, you're wrong.
Episode 3 of X-Men is going to be called Fire Made Flesh. Very exciting. Sounds gross.
It does sound gross. Fire Made Flesh?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like Roberto might be back.
Ooh, maybe. I mean, that would make sense.
Or is he Flesh Made Son?
I just heard myself through your headphone into your own microphone. That's how loud I got.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not going to yell again and find out, but.
Okay.
I got too close.
I'll keep my ears away from the microphone. But yeah. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us 2 in 1 week. A great birthday present for Kevin Feige to put out new stuff. On my birthday he did call me. He was like, hey, listen, is it okay if I like overshadow you a little bit? And I was like, I mean, I guess like,
you're like, take a number.
Yeah, all right, because Brandon did too. Go. All right, but yeah, anyway, you guys, Keith, do you have any final words or songs?
Or songs? Yeah,
as mine as have been
the musical person.
Oh,
that I
no.
am.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, I have a credits name before.
Hit it.
Okay. All right. I have done this one before. Different person, but I have done this one before. And I'm going to do it again because it is relevant because it is my birthday. One of our additional voices was Shelby Young. Hi, Shelby Young. I'm Emmy Old. And I'm sorry, it's still funny.
Shelby Young.
All right. Yep. Shelby craft Young. Craft. Did you say craft services?
Yeah, I don't remember if you said what she did. Oh, you said additional voices.
Additional okay. voices sorry, and Shelby. Craft services.
I'll reach
she
out
also did the charcuterie. but yeah. Hi, Shelby
Made
Young.
With real shark.
I am Emmy Old, and I once told my friend's mom that it was called charcuterie because it has meat on it, and she believed me.
Aw. Yep. The things we do.
All right.
For the ones we love.
In spite of the ones we love. speaking of that friend, I need to go call her back. Final words?
Oh, I got nothing. Happy birthday. Happy freaking birthday, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And happy birthday to Benny Berger.
Oh, how dare you.
Actually, it's 30 minutes after your birthday.
Oh, well, so. You know what? We're still going to sing.
Fuck you.
And the thing about... Did you say that to a newborn baby?
No, just you. Oh, I swear. Me,
we are still going to sing. And the thing about happy birthday is you have to sing it fast and sing it just like it's got to go. All right. So ready? Ready, okay. Set, go. All right. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear fucker. Happy birthday to me.
And many more.